Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is October 4th, 2024. It is finally Friday. The weekend is here. My name is Hind Eldah, and I'm here with my co-host, Abdelmajid Awan. For today's show, we have a lot of things going on, so let's just get into the main headlines. Construction of world's tallest skyscraper, Jeddah Tower, resumes. Saudi Arabia's AUM to reach $300 billion by 2026. Dalio and G42 shelve Abu Dhabi investment venture plans. And then Talabat to be valued more than its parent company, Delivery Hero. And then finally, stay tuned in for the end of the show where we have Laura Krajewski, who is the owner of a small business, Flash Facial, who is the soon-to-be-opened salon in Dubai Hills. Let's get into the first story. So the construction of the world's tallest skyscraper, not Burj Khalifa, that's already done. Saudi Arabia is going to come in and try to beat the world record for the tallest building called Jeddah Tower. And they've already started the construction, but had to stop due to an anti-corruption purge in Saudi Arabia, but are now actually resuming the construction. And the building is going to be at 1,000 meters. So actually, it's been resumed after 7 years of hiatus. So it's been stopped 7 years ago, but now they're continuing, which is good to know that the plan is still underway and it's not just like been, you know, left to the side.
A lot of things happened. It's in those not 7 years, easy to construct the world's biggest tower, skyscraper, which will have residential, commercial things. It will have the highest view deck in the world. Again, it'll be a bigger version of Burj Khalifa, like at least 100 meters more. Burj Khalifa is nearly 833 meters, and this is like 1 kilometer long, 1,000. So it's not that easy to make it. The designing part, then the making part, you can always go and see a lot of videos are out there about what happened with Burj Khalifa as well. The construction had to stop a lot of times because design modifications happened. Because the stability of such big towers is the biggest problem, that how it will stay there, even if there's a storm or anything, what is the procedure behind it. But in this tower, the main problem was something else. It was corruption. There was a whole purge done by the prince, Mohammed bin Salman. A lot of people involved were put into jail, had cases on them. But his cousin, Prince Al-Waleed, basically, he was one of the key figures who was backing it financially. He was also sent to jail. He spent 3 months there. Then he got out. Reports are there that there is no reason given to bring him out, that was he cleared of the charges, what happened. But finally, he tweeted on Twitter, X now. It's very difficult to pronounce it X. Yeah. It's Twitter for us. We'll always say Twitter most probably. So he wrote, "We are back," and he posted a 3D rendition of the whole tower. So right now, it's a very big, big project. Half of it, even one third of it is done only.
Yeah, there are around like 63 out of 157 stories already complete.
So it's like one third, nearly one third, but it's just the basic structure. They have to add a lot of stuff in it right now.
And the main plan is to have retail offices, even a hotel, as well as like office spaces and residential. So people will get to live in the world's tallest skyscraper in the future.
In the future. By 2028, they're trying to finish it by 2028. Trying is the operative word here. But let's see, maybe this was one of the things that they wanted to do for Saudi Vision 2030, 1,470-something time mentioning Saudi Vision 2030. But yeah, they've tried their best to do a lot of things. Jeddah Tower is one of the things that they wanted to build for Saudi Vision 2030 before 2030. So now JEC, which is Jeddah Economic Company, they're saying that it is scheduled to complete by 2028. So Burj Khalifa will lose its
top
title
spot,
to be the best place to be, the highest place to be for this, that. Jeddah Tower will be there. There's a lot of money involved right now. Some of it is paid, some of it is remaining. So Jeddah Economic Company, the construction company is the Bin Laden Group. It's the Bin Laden group which was given the contract, and the head of the Bin Laden group was caught also in the corruption purge. So again, it's complicated. It's a very complicated thing. Still, some of the people which were caught, the companies are back. People, maybe not. Only one person, Prince Al-Waleed, is back. But a lot of other people are back. And let's see how it goes. Hopefully, it'll be built.
Yeah, yeah.
We just want like something new. Burj Khalifa is still anomaly in the world, the world's biggest tower. A lot of tourists come to Dubai only to see Burj Khalifa sometimes. So if you have like 2 or 3 days in Dubai, you will definitely go to Burj Khalifa, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the fountain show you'll watch. Mm-hmm. So let's see.
Yeah. Let's move on to another news coming out of Saudi Arabia. So their assets under management is expected to grow to $300 billion by 2026 as per Fitch Ratings. And the growth will be driven by regulatory reforms, expanding equity and debt markets, and rising interest from high net worth individuals. As of mid this year, the country's assets under management had already surpassed $250 billion. And this reflects the 13.5% year-on-year growth. And Saudi Arabia has the largest assets under management out of all the GCC countries. And it's the second largest market for public Islamic funds globally. And they have 95% of their mutual funds that are compliant with the Sharia law or with the Islamic law.
So it becomes a very good destination for asset management services for high net worth individuals or the high net worth companies which are dealing billions and trillions of people's money. It becomes a very good place to be for them. We also talked about the law change that recently happened, that they changed the foreign investment law and made it more easier, more streamlined. Before it was, maybe it was a 10-step procedure. Now they've reduced it to 4 or 3 steps.
Right.
There will be better law services for them, better everything. So that law also actually helps them to build a network of these individuals or companies, which bring in a lot of assets there.
Yeah.
So 300 billion by 2026. So next 2 years. They'll go to 300 billion and maybe after that they'll grow more. No one knows. Saudi Arabia is on a rise, and where they'll stop, no one knows right now. Even them, they have such high ambitions. Even them, they don't have an idea where they want to stop. They just want to go up.
You're right.
Every day, every second.
That's a good step. I mean, when you set your goal, but then you find that you're actually surpassing it, it's always good to continue that goal. And set like higher standards and higher standards in hopes of reaching, you know, the best and having the best of the best.
Yeah.
There are also there's a rise of private funds in Saudi Arabia, which is now 3 times larger than public funds.
Wow.
And obviously this shows how there's a growing interest in equities and real estate investments in the kingdom. And the increasing number of IPOs and the improvement in the Tadawul all-share index are expected to attract even more capital into Saudi equity funds. And as Saudi Arabia's assets under management grows, it will become a more prominent global player in Islamic finance and asset management, which will, of course, help with the economic development of the country.
Yeah, we've seen everyone. We've talked about a lot of people going for an IPO on Tadawul. The parallel market, Nomu, is also seeing a lot of people come on it. Nomu is like a parallel market for SMEs in Saudi Arabia. So the main big companies, they list on Tadawul, and the smaller companies, the SMEs, they usually list on Nomu. So let's see, Majid Al-Ud, again, the example that we gave was the last one. Yesterday we talked about Lulu Group ditching them, but they are also planning for 2025 to list on Tadawul. So yeah. That part also has a lot of substance to it, that this is the reason that everyone is coming to Saudi Arabia to invest, because they're opening their doors, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
They're opening their doors and they're making it easier to invest.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's move on to the third story of the day, back to G42. I feel like we've talked about G42 a lot this past week, these past few weeks. So the billionaire Ray Dalio's family office and G42, which I think, as most people know, is the AI firm led by Sheikh Tahnoun bin Zayed Al Nahyan, have halted plans for a joint asset management venture in Abu Dhabi. And this cancellation was influenced by concerns related to Dalio's non-complete agreement with Bridgewater Associates, which is the hedge fund that he founded. And so this potential collaboration between Dalio and G42, which is one of the Middle East's most prominent AI firms. Now, this partnership could have created significant waves in both finance and AI industries. And so questions about intellectual property use, which is related to Dalio's past with Bridgewater, made it complicated to go along with the deal.
And I was talking to my head yesterday that Sheikh Thanun is everywhere in the news since his announcement as Time 100's one of most influential people in AI. He recently visited the US with the UAE president. He met Elon Musk, he met Jeff Bezos, he posted a picture with Mark Zuckerberg that, oh, we just came out of training together from the gym. So he is like the center figure right now around G42, MGX, which recently invested in OpenAI. So it's good to see someone from the region, or specifically from our country, UAE, becoming very famous.
Yeah, exactly. And being in that circle of these very prominent figures in tech and in AI. Yeah. So
this shows that UAE is not just a side player in the global economics right now. Uh-huh. These people going to places, meeting people, this shows that they are the big players now. Mm-hmm. They're in the big leagues. UAE has joined some of the biggest players in the world, not even in the region. And we recently saw that when the UAE president visited the US, UAE became the second country, second defense partner after India. So UAE is leading the world in a lot of things. The AI system that they're trying to create to move away from oil, Mr. Sheikh Thanun, he is the face of it.
Yeah.
So that is why he's very famous.
I mean, yeah, they are trying to become a global hub for AI, and they're doing that. They're really pushing themselves out there in the AI industry. And not only that, they're also hoping for like the young people to go into AI, go into AI research and development, and anything that has to do with further developing AI in the country. So it's more also like the brain power of the young people.
And the big companies, they're also like, they're not ignoring UAE. Again, 1 million things come to your mind because every day we see some new advancement in AI field or AI related thing. Microsoft recently invested $1.5 billion with G42 to put an infrastructure in place for data centers. Then UAE recently got H100s from NVIDIA to make their data centers more quick, more better. Every day there's one deal that you see that is pushing UAE towards becoming the global hub of AI. And Saudi Arabia is the same. Saudi Arabia is also trying. But I guess UAE is better are doing it right now, but it's a very healthy competition between both the countries.
Exactly.
So eventually it helps the region to become an AI hub. So
Let's move on to our final story before the guest comes on. So Talabat is to be valued between $12.9 billion to $15.1 billion, which is more than its parent company, Delivery Hero, which is valued at $11.5 billion. Now, Delivery Hero could see its Middle East subsidiary, Talabat, valued between those numbers, so $12.9 billion to $15.1 billion. Yeah. As it heads towards an IPO later on in this year at the Dubai Financial Market.
Yeah, and Talabat getting more value over Delivery Hero shows that this region, it has a very high potential for any product that you bring it here. Talabat was basically started by a Kuwaiti guy, but he was eventually, he sold it to the Delivery Hero.
Which is a German food delivery company.
Just a German food delivery. And they also, Delivery Hero doesn't only own Talabat in this region. They also own Jahez in the region in Saudi Arabia. So it's a very big network of whatever is happening in the region. It's not just one company or one name. Mm-hmm. Everyone is like associated with someone. But according to the report, Kareem, funnily, people in UAE would say Noon is the biggest competitor to Talabat, but finally the bankers who are involved in the IPO for Talabat, they believe that Kareem is a bigger threat because Kareem again, Careem is a very complicated thing as well. It is owned by Uber. The delivery services, 49% of the share of the delivery services is owned by Uber. So Uber is investing a lot of money in Talabat. So this makes Uber plus Careem a bigger player in the region. So Talabat is competing with them. So hopefully when the IPO opens, when finally the news comes that the shares are going and investors will be welcomed and bookkeeping will start, the whole process will start, we'll finally know the evaluation. But they're trying to raise $1 billion.
Yeah, the IPO could be valued at around that number.
Yeah, so that will be obviously for expansion and to make the product better.
Yeah,
always
exactly.
These two things are always there whenever someone is doing an IPO.
Yeah.
So let's see, hopefully Talabat will do good.
And
this is all that we discussed. Jeddah Tower has resumed construction. World's tallest skyscraper, it is going to become, it will be 1 kilometer long, 1,000 meters. Apart from that, Saudi Arabia's assets under management will reach $300 billion by 2026. Fitch Ratings has said that. Dalio and U42 have shelved their Abu Dhabi investment venture plan. Ray Dalio has a non-compete, so he can't use this clients and all the intellectual property that he has already. So after that, the non-compete clause ends, maybe they will come back and start something. Apart from that, we talked about how Talabat will be and maybe and probably value more than Delivery Hero. And now we're going for a short break.
Yes, so thank you so much for joining us on the talking about the main headlines. But continue watching the show because we are going to have the owner of a soon-to-be-opened Flash Facial Salon, and it's a small business. So if you are, you know, if you want to know more about opening a small business here in Dubai, then make sure you're tuned in. We will have Laura Krajewski in a few minutes. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back on the show. Today, we have a special guest, Laura Krajewski, who is the CEO of the soon-to-be-opened Flash Facial Salon. Please welcome.
Thank you so much.
So first off, can you just tell our audience, what is Flash Facial?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are taking a new take on the traditional facial experience. So really trying to give women a 15-minute facial, meeting them where they're at. So in terms of expansion, having these all over Dubai and UAE. So in terms of time, it's super convenient, and it's 149 dirham every time you go. So not a first-time offer. Every single facial is 149 dirhams with our first location in Dubai Hills Mall.
And I'm curious, what made you go into the facial industry?
My husband and I are originally from the U.S. You can probably tell from my accent. And we spent 6 years living in Singapore. So we had exposure to the best of the best skincare. And we're fortunate enough to travel quite a bit around the Southeast Asian region. So the exposure to that. And then we had a bit of an aha moment of, this doesn't really work, right? Like, facials are really expensive and they take a long time.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've had that experience.
Where
we thought it needed a little bit of disruption. I have a tech background, so we're used to breaking things and rebuilding things and breaking things and rebuilding things. So we saw this as an opportunity to do that in a more of a B2C way.
Nice. Wow. So how does it happen? Like, does it have some special machines that it have some special ingredients? How can it happen so quickly? Because again, you said, I also understand, because when my wife goes, she's like, I'll take 1 or 2 hours
exactly.
at least. And just for the facial, then other things take
separate
time.
Yeah,
so is there some technology behind it, or is it some technique, something?
Good question. So to walk you through the process, you're going to walk into a Flash Facial and you're going to have a kiosk looking at you almost like you're ordering at McDonald's. You're going to have 5 options there. You choose your option and your facial therapist will take you back to the room. They're all hydrofacials, which means we're using water and hydration to really pull out all the impurities in your face. And we're basically prioritizing the most effective parts of a facial. So you're not going to lay there for 20 minutes with a mask on your face. You know, you're not going to enjoy the facilities. You're really coming to have 15 minutes of the most effective facial aspects and then go about your day.
I think that's great because a lot of facials do take a lot of time and not a lot of people have the luxury to spend 2 hours in a facial salon, you know.
And so a lot of money as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the fact that it's only 15 minutes, that's great. I mean, another question I want to ask you is why did you choose Dubai?
Yeah, so we were living the expat life in Singapore and every time we went back to the US, we were like, oh, we're not quite ready for this step to move back. And funny enough, my father-in-law had an apartment here in 2003. So my husband had spent time coming here as a kid and he tried to plant the seed of, hey, I think maybe our next stop should be Dubai. I wasn't sold, to be completely honest. I had very much the glitzy glamour view of Dubai in my head. So he said, come with me on a work trip. And we both just fell in love with it in a way that we could see ourselves here for quite a long time. We see ourselves here permanently. And a big part of that is there's such a beautiful like health and wellness community here, very family friendly, very kid friendly. Mm-hmm. And that's really attractive to us.
And is this your first time opening a business?
Yes.
Okay, because a lot of businesses are attracted to Dubai because of the fact that it's easier than other places. So can you tell us about your experience with, you know, opening up a business here? Like, I mean, what were the hardships, first like, of all, and then...
From idea to execution, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
How does it happen? Like, does it take a long time? Is there a very big monetary commitment involved, or is it like better than other countries? Do you think there will be value for your money?
Yes. So I think it's a two-part question where in terms of setting up a business here, we are working with Virtue Zone, which, you know, their entire job is to help set up businesses because we really want to do this as, you know, correctly as possible because we see ourselves expanding very quickly. So we want to make sure we had every T crossed, every I dotted, and they have been a great partner. I will say Dubai has made things very easy. In terms of knowing where to go for specific aspects of setting up a business, as well as working with Amar, because our first location is at Dubai Hills, which is an Amar property. They've made it very simple in terms of here's what we require from you, and here's the amount of time that you have to deliver it to us. So I would say in terms of when we look at other markets that we're exposed to, from the flash side of things, looking at Singapore and the U.S., UAE has made it very easy in terms of getting something set up here.
Nice. And the monetary aspect, is it your own funded project?
Yes.
Are you bootlegging it? Or like,
so we are a bootstrapped company, and I would say my biggest piece of advice to any entrepreneur is don't quit your day job. I think that if you asked me that 5 years ago, my answer might have been different, but things are expensive. Yeah. There's no way to get around that. You need more money than you think you need. So when you think about fundraising, I think the word fundraising is a bit intimidating to people, right? Because you're thinking, I need to go present this to a venture capital firm or, you know, you're on billions or something, right? No, go to your friends and family because if they believe in you and you have a good idea, those are the people that you want to bring on this ride with you. And that was the thought process we had. So our only investors are family at the moment. So it's a family business, which we also love. And it's been incredible to take them on this journey with
lovely.
Us.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did it take you 2 years to set up this business?
Yeah.
Now, do you have a message for other people who are looking to start their own businesses, their small businesses? And because 2 years is quite a long time. So what is your advice to them to continue working on their business and to not give up?
Yeah, it really, you have to know what the bigger picture is for you, right? So for us, I have a vision of what I want Flash to look like in 3 years from now, 5 years from now. And the crux of that for me is serving women because I love working with women. I have three sisters. I was in a sorority. So like, females mean so much to me. They've lifted me up my entire life. So that's my driving force is giving women a beautiful space to decompress for 15 minutes, right? Like, I can't make sure your husband remembers your birthday. I can't make sure your kids go to bed on time. But I can give you a 15-minute reprieve from life.
Right.
So you have to really know what is driving you. Mm-hmm. And any time you start to feel yourself fading or you're not believing in yourself, remember that, because mm-hmm. that is going to keep you moving forward.
Right. You should always come back to the end goal.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And what's really motivating mm-hmm. you.
So your location, Dubai Hills Mall, it's a very new attraction.
Yeah.
People like now prefer to go to it because the other bigger malls, they have a lot of traffic. I know it's good for footfall, but some people now prefer this mall more. So was it that like pushed you to go there, or is there anything else that you think Dubai Hills Mall is the location for you?
Yeah, so I'm new to Dubai, right? Like I am very honest about that. So I came quite a few times and was scoping out different locations and would just talk to people. Oh. And I would say, hey, what do you think about here, there? And everyone would say, Dubai Hills.
Yeah.
We love mm-hmm. it. This is where I shop with my family. This is where I prefer mm-hmm. of everyone who lived here. That was the message loud and clear. So then we got pretty laser focused on this is where we need to be. We view Dubai Hills as our flagship location where we're going to be where people are coming. We're going to meet them where they're at. And then as we grow, people hopefully in the back of their mind, like, I believe I've heard of this place before. I've seen mm-hmm. this place before. So mm-hmm. we view it as really a marketing tool as well because of what an attraction Dubai Hills is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any questions? I would just ask you to, if you can, list down three must-do things before you start a business. Like, because you've been on a journey, it's a very long journey, 2 years.
Yes.
Three must-do things.
The first one is money. I know that's it's the foundation mm. of your business, right? And I think people can get uncomfortable talking about money, asking for money. And when I say money, I mean be very clear about how much money you need and how you will be allocating that. So if I'm asking you for $100, you probably want to know how I'm spending that, right? So I think money and being very clear on how you're going to use those funds to grow the business. I think having a really strong support system, and that's so cliche, but a support system can be one person,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. If you have one person in your corner, you're like, okay, they believe in me, that's all that matters. It's really going to fuel you and keep you going, especially as we were talking about those days where you're like, maybe this is not mm-hmm. worth it.
Yeah.
So if you just have one person, one confidant that you can believes in you, it will take you quite a far way. And then I think, honestly,
maybe you can identify a problem that this is the biggest problem. And I guess it's money, primarily. It's money.
Is, right? And
yeah.
I think not anticipating as much as you'll need.
Yeah.
My father, very astute person, he said, okay, thank you for this business plan. I would like to send you back for a week. Think about a few other unexpected costs that might come up and then come back to me. So, okay, that's very good advice.
They come up?
They did come up, of course, right? Mm-hmm. He said, there's invisible costs everywhere as you start this company. Why don't you go back, think about a few of those, and then come back to me and ask for this investment?
When are you planning to open? Like, do you have a fixed date, which is there, like, for a soft or a big launch?
Yes, we should be open the first week of December.
That's nice. Pretty soon enough.
Yes, yeah. Very soon.
Him will
this
most
year,
probably come there.
I will
yes,
go there for
you'll
sure.
have to come.
I need a facial.
Please, we would love to have you come to our grand
apart
opening.
Apart from that, I know it's a very long shot, but do you have plans to go to the bigger venues in Dubai? Do you plan to someday open it in Dubai Mall? Or in Mall of Emirates, like they're the most famous ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I actually would, our expansion goals is through franchising.
Oh.
So if people are interested in learning about that, definitely look at our Instagram, at Flash Facial. But we see more serving women in their communities.
Oh.
So I'd much rather see Flash in more of those community malls, whether we're in, you know, Arabian Ranches, further within Dubai Hills. People where people are shopping, right? Your kids are going to tutors there.
Yeah.
Maybe you get your hair done there. Your pet store's there. Your flower shop's there. So we really want to make sure it's super accessible, not just at tourist destinations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So
yeah.
Franchising mainly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Now, on your Instagram, you mentioned dealing with imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So how has that impacted you as a businesswoman, and how do you manage to deal with it while running your business?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think even coming here today, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never sat in a studio like this. But I truly believe that Flash is going to serve so many people. And at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about creating a space for women who deserve the space. Mm-hmm. And that's what I continue to tell myself in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. I feel that I'm simply a conduit to make this happen. And that's what I try to remind myself when I have these shrinking moments mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. I don't deserve this, or this isn't for me. I'm out of my league here. And it works.
That's great.
My question, you talked about your husband in between. How supportive has he been? Like, how supportive does a partner, maybe your wife or husband, has to be to, like, start a business?
We're in this together. Oh. So he's the reason I'm here today. Yeah. You know, he collaborated with you all. He is very invested in seeing my success, because we always say his success is my success, yeah. my mm-hmm. success is his success. And we live by that, because it just makes for a happier household, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you so much,
anything
Laura.
That you would like to add that we missed? We tried to ask you everything about Fast Facial. The idea is great. To be honest, when I heard about it, I was very happy that my wife can just go and come back in 15
minutes. Absolutely, yeah.
And then she can do all the other things. And when she because when she comes back from a spa, she's usually tired, like 3 hours on this, 2 hours on this, 15 mm-hmm. minutes. So it's a whole process, but getting a facial, quick facial.
Yes.
I can send her every day.
So exactly, go. Yes. We'd love to have her, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Laura, for joining us on the show. If you missed the first half of the show, or if you ever want to rewatch the older episodes, you can always find us on all these streaming platforms like Anghami, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also find us on all the social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you so much for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production part of the Gustus Media Podcast Network. And once again, thank you to Laura for joining us on the show.
Thank you both so much.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.